If you would tonight, go with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 5. On Sunday nights, we're working through the characters of the Old Testament. We've made our way all the way to Daniel chapter number 5. And tonight's character is Belshazzar. And Belshazzar is the king that follows Nebuchadnezzar, as far as we can tell. And Belshazzar, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, as we learned last week, Nebuchadnezzar gave his heart and life to Christ, gave his heart to God, put his trust in God. And it took him 7 years of eating grass like a wild donkey and the dew of heaven falling on his back before he realized that he needed to give glory to God. But when he gave glory to God, God was gracious to love and forgive him. Belshazzar, as we'll read in the story, wishes to God that he had turned to the Lord. And I want to show you this passage of Scripture and read it to you. We'll read the entire chapter, Daniel chapter number 5, as we look at this man, Belshazzar, tonight. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. What happened just now? Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, he says, we're going to have a great feast. He's gathered 1,000 of his lords, 1,000 of the people who are leading in the great empire of Babylon to a great feast. There are thousands and thousands of people in this great feast. And someone in the reading that I've done, studying from this passage of Scripture, said that the building that they were in was something like 1,000 feet long. And in that building, there were over 4,000 20-foot columns carved out of stone, looking like elephants holding up the roof. The glory and the power of Babylon was something that nobody could imagine. And Belshazzar, in his pride and arrogance and earthly power, has this great feast. In the presence of this great feast is every god made of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, of stone. All the gods of Babylon were present there. And in defiance of the God of the Jews, Jehovah God, God with a big G, he takes the dishes, the vessels from the temple that had been ransacked in Jerusalem. And in mockery towards God, he and his wives and his concubines mock God and drink wine out of the vessels from God's temple. The Bible says this in verse number 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now, isn't that fascinating? Look what happens. He's scared to death. I love this verse. You see it with me? In verse number 6, the king's countenance was changed. Can you see his face go from a joyful smile, drinking and defying God, saying how proud and how wonderful he is. The Bible says his countenance was changed because there was a hand that began to write on the wall, the plaster wall of the palace. His countenance is changed. His thoughts troubled him. The Bible says the joints of his loins were loosed. He couldn't hold himself up. And the Bible said that his knees smote one against another. Have you ever been so scared that your knees were knocking? That was the case for a good old big bad boy, King Belshazzar. He was shaking in his boots, scared to death. You know what I am reminded of when I see the joints of his loins and his knees knocking and his inability to stand straight? I'm reminded of Psalm 1, where the Bible teaches us that the righteous stand in the judgment, but the ungodly are not so. Belshazzar, scared to death, calls on everything he knows. He calls the wise men of the day, the best that the world had to offer. He calls into his presence. He says, there's a message written on the wall. What in the world does it mean? I've underlined in my Bible what the Bible says in verse number 8 in regard to all the king's wise men. Now, I'm not talking about just some random dude that called in a buddy to see if he could figure out. I'm talking about the king of the greatest nation on the planet and the wisest of the wise, the smartest of the smart. If we were to compare it to America, if we could call in the greatest experts in all the world, the Bible said the need that Belshazzar had, all the world had to offer. The Bible says in verse number 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. Now look with me, verse number 10. The Bible says, verse number 10, now the queen. Now this is an interesting lady, the queen. Now, if you study and figure out the connection with the queen, this isn't the queen as in the wife of King Belshazzar. This is the queen. This is the grandmother of Belshazzar. Now the grandmother of Belshazzar hears of all the tumult going on at her baby boy's party, and she comes, and here's what happens. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made masters of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. So Belteshazzar says, hey, look, I'm going to make the same deal I made with all the other wise men. And I hear that you can answer my dreams and decipher what's been written on the wall. And if you do this, I'm going to really hook you up. I mean, Daniel, I'm going to make the deal sweet as sugar pie. It's going to be good. If you can tell me what the writing means, you can be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. I love Daniel's response. Verse number 17. Daniel had a good understanding of the difference between the wealth of the world and the wealth of godliness. And the Bible says, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. So what does Daniel do? I'll just tell you, Daniel gives Belshazzar the king a history lesson and sets the stage for a scathing sermon from a raw-bone preacher. Belshazzar needed to be reminded of what had happened to his own father, Nebuchadnezzar. The fact that Nebuchadnezzar had hardened his heart and his pride had gotten in the way. And God had caused him to realize that there was no other God in heaven but God Jehovah. Belshazzar needed the lesson. It had nothing to do. I kind of like Daniel's boldness. The king of the greatest nation in the world at the time had called Daniel into his presence. And Daniel didn't care to just let him have it and tell him the truth. So Daniel continues his message and says in verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Daniel says, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Isn't that fact? I love the way Daniel says that. Daniel speaks to Belshazzar and says, now you've been honoring and glorifying gods made of gold, silver, wood, iron, clay, anything you can find to make a god out of. I like to think about all those gods. They were in this setting where they're having this big party. They'd set them all out and they were worshiping these gods made of man's hands. Daniel makes sure that he mentions the fact that those gods couldn't hear, they couldn't speak. They were being glorified. But he said, Belshazzar, the very God in whose hand is thy breath. I want you to think of that just a moment. Take a big, deep breath of air. All of us are enjoying the blessing of God. Daniel said, your next breath is in God, Jehovah's hand, and you have failed to glorify him. He said, and I'll just tell you something, the message written on that wall, it was sent from him. Verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Verse 25, here's the message. It was written on the wall. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the king of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. perish. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Verse 30, pay close attention. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Isn't that something? That night, someone said that Belshazzar partied and drank away the night while his kingdom was taken from him. Belshazzar, there's a passage here in this prophecy. It says this, look at it with me, in verse 27. Directly to Belshazzar, this was written, by God, by the hand of God, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. God speaks and sends a message from heaven to Belshazzar, who has everything that anybody could ever dream of having. He says, I've weighed you in the balances, and you are found wanting. Everything that he had, everything that he had acquired, all the power that he possessed, God says, all you have, when it's weighed in the balance, in comparison to the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, eternity, all that you possess, I've weighed it in the balance and it's found wanting. The word wanting means deficient. How many of you have ever got a little note in the mail from the bank that says deficient funds? You know what that means, right? Deficient. Not enough. Swipe the card. Deficient funds. It means lacking. It means not enough. Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and found wanting. I want to bring just a few things to your attention. With all that Belshazzar had, it was not enough. Point number one is this. The world's gods are not enough. The world's gods are not enough. The Bible says here in the beginning of this passage of Scripture, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Now, I'm personally convinced that that verse of Scripture means that there were gods of the pagan gods of the Babylonians that were set up, gods that were made of gold, gods that were made of silver, gods that were made of brass, gods made of iron and wood and stone. But I want to remind you something, that all the materials that this world has to offer, if you had it all and you could worship it all and you could depend on it all and you had it in the bank and you had it in the barn, I want you to understand something. When you weigh it out against life and death and eternity, all the gods of this world are not enough. You'll find them utterly insufficient. Belshazzar had all the world had to offer, and he found out that the world's gods are not enough. Look, folks, if you desire to have things, that's fine. But do not allow things to have you. We should not be obsessed with the materials of this world. We should be generous and gracious and set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The Bible says the things of the earth, they'll burn up someday. Wood, hay, stubble, they burn, they corrupt. And Belshazzar is a terrible, serious lesson of the fact that all the world's gods are not enough. They're not enough. They're insufficient. Now look, I'm thankful for the things that I have and the things that God has given me, but I must be reminded that they did not come because of my cunning abilities or extreme effort. They are all given by God and given from God. And I should not worship the things of this world because the world's gods are not enough. The second thing I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. The world's wisdom is not enough. The world's wisdom is not enough. It's a recurring theme in the book of Daniel. Every time Nebuchadnezzar got himself in trouble, the knucklehead, every time, he went to the same knuckleheads to try to get the same advice, and every time, they were wanting. They weren't enough. And guess what happened? When Belshazzar rose to the throne, he gave no regard to the change that had taken place in Nebuchadnezzar's life when he committed his life to God Jehovah. And when he got in trouble and a hand appeared, fingers, it doesn't necessarily say it was a hand, but it was fingers, it says, like on a man's hand. So I've got pictured these five long, spooky fingers. I don't know. So when Belshazzar sees this finger writing on the plaster of the wall, this strange message, he begins to shake in his boots and shake in his knees. And he has to know, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean? How can I make sense of what I'm seeing? How can I make sense of the trouble? How can I make sense of the fear? How can I make sense of the difficulty? And so what does he do? He goes to the wisest of the wise according to his standard. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. He said, surely someone who's studying sciences, the sciences, can help me. The Chaldeans, they were the business side. They were the intelligent, worldly wise, the soothsayers. They were the folks who could just say something right and make you feel better about it. He calls in the soothsayers. King spake and said to these wise men of Babylon, he says, I don't care who it is, whoever can tell me what that means. He's looking at that wall. Whoever can tell me what that means, he says, I'll do something big for you. I'm going to clothe you in scarlet. We'll put a chain of gold about your neck. I'm pretty sure that chain of gold would have showed their power. The scarlet clothing would be something that gave them prestige. The chain of gold would show their power. And he says, I'll make you third ruler in the kingdom. He says, there'll only be two people, me and one other, that's got more power in this kingdom than you, if you can tell me what it says. But the Bible says in verse 8, and we should not be surprised. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing. They could not. Folks, I'll have you know something. The world's wisdom is not enough. If you think somehow science and doctors and lawyers and the brilliant philosophers of this day, if you think somehow psychologists and psychiatrists, a lot of these folks play a valuable role. I go to the doctor when I get sick because those guys know things I don't. And I go to the professionals to get help, but I'll have you know something. If you think somehow the wisdom of this world is going to suffice in the balances of God's judgment, you're wrong. God is sufficient, and the world's wisdom is not enough. It's not enough. We should praise God for the understanding he gives men. Isn't it amazing? We should praise God for medicine and doctors, and we should praise God for the intelligence that he gives us, but we must never forget that it comes from God. And if you think somehow you're smarter than God or there are people that are, you'll be weighed in the balance and found wanting because the world's wisdom, it's not enough. Number 3. the world's comfort is not enough. I can't help but think this is a well-meaning grandmother, but I'll just tell you something. She told Belshazzar a lie. She's a lying granny right here on the pages of God's Word. I'll show it to you. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Liar. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee. Liar. Nor let thy countenance be changed. She says, smile. Don't be upset. Don't be scared because five eerie fingers wrote a condemning message on the wall all of a sudden out of the middle of nowhere when you're defying God, Jehovah. Don't let that bother you, honey. She's a lying granny. Now here's the bottom line. If you ever hear someone say, don't worry about what God has to say, don't be afraid because of what the Bible said. Don't be alarmed because of the judgment that the preacher had to offer from the Bible. If you ever hear someone say, do not let the idea and the notion that God is a righteous judge worry you or change your countenance, you just remember something. That's a lie. And sin will be paid for. Judgment will fall. It's not a popular message, but it's an important message. The good news is, judgment doesn't have to fall because you do not have to leave God out. You can include him. You can put him first. You can give him preeminence, prominence. You can trust him and live for him and have the glory and the peace and the joy and the hope that God has promised. Belshazzar's grandmother, the queen mother, she offered the comfort that the world has to offer. The world offers comfort in drugs and alcohol. The world offers comfort in soft, kind words and notions and ideas that are in defiance of God's word. But I'll have you know something. They do not carry the mail. They do not produce the goods. They're not sufficient. They're not enough. We must put God in his proper place. Prophet Jeremiah had something to say about this. There were groups of people in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah's message was one that's pretty depressing. He wrote the book Lamentations because he was lamenting. He was the weeping prophet because God's judgment was falling on the rebellion of the people. And Jeremiah had something to say about the soothsayers and the lying grannies of the day. He says, you've said all these nice words and these kind things and these sweet words. He says, and what you've done is you have healed the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly. Do you know what they did? These kind words that brought a little smile to the face and ease the pain and the worry and the fear and the fret for just a moment. Do you know what it did? It only healed their hurt slightly. Just barely. And I'll have you know something. Granny may have been able to lift Belshazzar's spirit for a moment, but I'll have you know something. The world's comfort is not enough. You're not going to find what you need in relationships with people. You're not going to find what you need in the things of this world. You're not going to find the comfort you need in substances. You're not going to find it in vacations. You're not going to find it in anything this world has to offer because the world's comfort is not enough. Finally, the world's power, prestige, and pride are not enough. I think it's quite interesting. We know the story now, right? Belshazzar had power. He had prestige. He was the kind of guy that could throw a party for thousands and thousands of people all at one time. He had 1,000 lords. What's that mean? It's something like 1,000 governors that had gathered. And he ruled the lands and the known world at that time. Power, prestige, and pride are not enough. The world's power, prestige, and pride are not enough. I'm fascinated by this. 3 different times, troubled in his soul about what the hand, the fingers had written on the wall. He says to the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, the magicians, the wise men of the day, he says, I tell you what, whoever can interpret this message on the wall, I'm going to clothe you with scarlet. That's what it says in verse number 7, with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about your neck, and you shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you something big time. Scarlet, gold, third in command. Daniel comes into the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar says, I've heard that you can dissolve doubts and interpret things. And the king says, Daniel, I'll tell you what. Thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. If you can interpret this, for you it's the scarlet, the gold, and third ruler. All right. Daniel interprets the dream. It's kind of amazing. Daniel preaches this sermon. Man, he just lets the king have it. I like it. Way to go, Daniel. He just lets him have it. He interprets the writing. And the king says something and does something. He keeps his word. The Bible says that the king, I'm looking for it. At any rate, the king, when he interprets it, sure enough, the king gives him the scarlet. Gives him the gold. And even gets someone to come and record the fact in the official book of Babylon that Daniel is big number 3 in the greatest power in the world. You see Daniel? Daniel understood at this time what was going to happen. He had the scar, he had the gold. And for an hour or two, he was the third in command. But guess what happens? Daniel understood the value of the world's wealth. Now, I'm not talking about $100,000 in the bank. I'm not talking about $10,000. I'm not talking about $5,000. I'm not talking about enough to eat this week. I'm not talking about being comfortable for a day or two. I'm talking about the most powerful person in the entire world. Handed Daniel the keys to the kingdom. But guess what happened? What would you do if you were the third in control? You had access, third person, to all that the world has to offer. What would you do if you were a Musk or a Gates or a... Think about it for just a minute. Man. There's some opportunity. There's some privilege there. I just want you to know, I don't despise any of those people. Thankful for some of them. But the bottom line is, the world's power, prestige, and pride are not enough. What did Daniel's scarlet and gold chain and the edict from the king that said you're the third in command mean the next day? I'll show you. Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. and Darius, the Median, not a Babylonian. Darius, a Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. He's 62 years old. Darius takes the kingdom. Belshazzar's dead. Babylon is no longer ran by the leaders of Babylon. And Daniel's scarlet, gold, and power, in just a few hours, lost all of its oomph. I just say all that to say this. The world's power, prestige, and pride, they're not enough. The Bible says that Daniel spoke and read this interpretation to Belshazzar. He says, "You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." Folks, all the world has is not enough. Does that mean that we don't enjoy what God's given us? No. But never forget where it came from. And remember that your sufficiency and your purpose and your life should have no greater goal than to please your Creator and trust in your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the world is not enough, but Jesus is. The world's not enough, but Jesus is. The world can't suffice, but Jesus can. The world can't provide, but Jesus can. You see, Daniel had something greater before he ever walked into the presence of Belshazzar than Belshazzar ever had. He had a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God was on the throne of his heart, and he found that God was enough. But Belshazzar, I don't like it, but it's true. Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Let's pray.